Okay, so the topic of the talk that I will present is a work we've been doing together with Jonathan Silan here on electronic program guides using SVG. And this is completely in line with what you say about IPTV and program guides. You will see it probably with the Paula's talk. So I think this issue is very consistent. So the context of our work is that we're witnessing convergence in many directions in the multimedia world, right? First, there are convergent audio and video codecs. MPEG-4 AAC is supported almost everywhere. AVC is also everywhere. No question about that. And for graphics, it's very similar. HTML, 5 or whatever, and SVG also. So, as people from Microsoft have said it, we will witness graphically and media-rich content everywhere, on PC, on set-top boxes, on phone, tablets, like this iPad here. And in this context, TV is also evolving. First, okay, it may be obvious, but TV is becoming digital, right? But still, so, yeah, and with the digital TV, we have more programs, more channels. And just to stress that it is really becoming digital and only digital. For example, in France, the switch off of the analog TV is scheduled for end of 2011. So it's soon. And there's an opportunity here with the TV becoming really digital to have more interactivity. And one of the standards that was not mentioned, but you mentioned OIPF, there's a new standard in Europe called HBBTV, or HTML Broadcast Broadband TV. It's an ETSI standard, so if you're interested, you can have a look. So, TV is evolving. Devices and networks are evolving also. So, as I said, devices can play video. TVs can get connected to the internet already. And the mobile world also is changing. You could already have access to TV. Yeah, 3G networks, but also mobile broadcast networks are being deployed. As you mentioned, the ATSC MH, and in Europe, okay, the DVB-H has not started, will probably never start, I don't know. Maybe there will be a replacement like the DVB-SH. But still, there are problems of deployment of these networks, cost problems, especially when you want to reach, studies have shown that the usage of mobile TV is not really mobile. Most of the people use it at home, surprisingly. They're in their rooms with their phone and they look at the TV on their phone. Yeah, some studies have shown that. So one of the problems in deploying mobile TVs to have the signal penetrate the houses. So either you need to put more power in the antenna or you need to put more antennas. And that costs a lot. So here comes the project in which we are working. It's called Pingo. So it's a project with two companies and us. Dipcom, a French manufacturer for TV signal receivers, DVB, TAS, HSH, and so on. Barracuda Media is an integrator. And it's financed by the French research institution. So we have this device here. It's an embedded platform, and the goal is to have this device located near the window that captures the signal and redistributes it in the house and adapts it. Okay. So it can already receive DVB-T, DVB-H, and DVB-SH signals, transcode the video, changing the format. For example, if you receive HD signal and you want to send it to a mobile phone, you have to do some transcoding. You receive MPEG-2 video, you need to transform it into MPEG-4 AVC, so things like that. And what is interesting for us is the transformation of the EPG data, and I will talk about that later. And we're targeting PC, phones, and tablets, not TV, because the TV can already receive the signal. Right? And so the principles is that of our work at the Comparistec is that we develop a framework or a methods to receive the EPG data, to transform it into SVG, and deliver it over Wi-Fi. And we investigated two approaches. One is streaming, And the other one is traditional AJAX. And of course, we adapt it to the size of a screen, for example. So, okay, I will skip this. You know what is an electronic program guide, an EPG. These are two examples. You showed some others. Just so that you know the ecosystem of the EPG, there are at least three. First, if you look at DVB-T, so DVB-T is the standard for terrestrial TV, not mobile, just for your TV in your house. And the EPG data is delivered over MPEG-2, a transport stream, and the format is a binary format. The format of the data, the EPG data, is a binary format called DVB, an event information table. On the web, there are many examples. Okay, you retrieve it from with the IP, and you can get either HTML or XML or whatever. And in DVB-H and DVB-SH, you have the same kind of protocol stack you showed for ATSC, MH. You have first MPEG-2TS, then some IPDC, so a way to deliver IP packets on over MPEG-2. And then you have the Fluke protocol to deliver files over IP. And then you have some XML, so maybe TV anytime or something else. And so we implemented inputs from these three sources, types of sources. So again, why SVG? Of course, we like to work with SVG, and our player implements SVG, so it was natural to try it with SVG. But also, SVG has interesting properties. The layout, for example, not having to rely on a flow layout allows you to put your programs with to do a layout that's not a table, that's not a strict table. Then you have gradients, you have animations, and you have interactivity, so that's nice. There is audio and video support, so in Tiny, so that allows us to show the grid and the TV at the same time. Plus, SVG is now supported more and more, so it's ubiquitous, as this conference is titled. Then again, there's a mobile industry interest in SVG, 3GPP, OMA, ATSC, whatever. And what we wanted to investigate was the streaming of SVG, and we can do streaming using the RME or DIMS. It's almost the same thing, right? So for those who don't know what is DIMS, DIMS means Dynamic Interactive Multimedia Scenes. It's a 3GPP standard based on the MPEG-4 laser, which is based on SVG, so it's a stack of modifications to SVG, right? And the concepts are, okay, there are some extensions of SVG, but we didn't use them in our project. And the most interesting part is that you can, with DIMS, you can send from a client, from a server to a client, you can send modifications of SVG when the server decides, not when the client requests them. And they can be insertions, removal, replacement, just as you would do them by script using the DOM, right? And they can be, these timed modification of SVG can be stored either in files, like MP4 files, and then you can synchronize them with the audio and video to make subtitles, to make a region of interest tracking over a video. But you can also send them from a server, like any streaming server, or you can do progressive download of synchronized streams. So that's the architecture of DIMS. So the architecture of our system is, first we have this server, which receives the DVB signals, transmits the transformed information over Wi-Fi to a phone, let's say an iPhone. And the architecture is, first we have some demodulator receiving signal. We separate the audio and the EPG. The audio and video is transcoded. The EPG is transformed in SVG. And then we have two paths. One is DIMS packaging and then streaming over RTP, which is as if we were doing video. And the second path is storing and then serving it with a classical web server. Okay. So there are, of course, advantages and drawbacks for all the approaches, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other, it's just different, and depending on your use cases, you might want to use one or the other. But the traditional AJAX approach, our server will go on the web, retrieve, or go with the TV signal, retrieve the program, generate XML file, store them in the web server, and the client will periodically retrieve the XML and update its display, right? So with this approach, of course, we have a light server, that's just decoding the programs, creating an XML and serving them. Adaptation is nice because then it's easier on the client than with the streaming approach, because everything is on the client, so the client can do everything, can decide. There's no privacy issue by sending back my preferred programs, or there's no it's simple. But okay, it's not as the dynamicity is not as good when you do streaming, because when you do streaming, every time there's a new program, you receive it, or a modification of a program, you receive it. Well, in the Ajax mode, you have to pull it, you have to wait for the next polling to update. And also the layout, when we do the Ajax approach, we just send the XML of the EPG programs, we don't change the layout. With the streaming approach, we can send modification of the scene to update the layout, to update the charter, to update the style, and so on. So you could imagine that for Christmas we could send updates of the theme to have a theme like the Google page you have during Christmas is different from another time of the year. And for the streaming, so the principle is that programs are retrieved from the broadcast source, they are transformed, packaged, and streamed over RTP. And, well, this is I don't know if it's a pro or a con. It's a pro or a con. But it reproduces the behavior of TV broadcast channel, right? Things are pushed until the end user. There's no storage in the middle. The client is lighter. In our demonstration, we use JavaScript on the client only for the navigation. So that I'll come back later on that. But for the construction, for the display, JavaScript is not used. We have a heavier server. The bandwidth between the server and the client is increased because we're sending EPG data plus presentation data, right? And it's more difficult, as I said, to adapt. So some implementation details. The server, as you see on the picture, is an embedded platform running an ARM processor at 400 megahertz with a video transcoding chip. The clients we are using, so for streaming, for DIMS streaming, we're using only JPEG. It's the only player we could have. I don't know if your player support DIMS or RME. Okay, so we would be happy to test it for interoperability. And I know that someone else, maybe Akibo. And for the Ajax, okay, we used all the browsers except IE9, and I tested just before my presentation. It doesn't work, so we have to fix it. So some results. Here is how it looks like on Chrome. So you have a grid, typical grid. The video is displayed there. And then when you click on a program, you have some additional information here. We will see it on a video, more in detail, just to show you the looks. Opera. So in Opera, we have some problems with the playback of the video. Formats are not the same. Supported formats on the scene. This one is what? Safari? Yeah. Then we have, okay, this one is JPEG. It's a bit different on this one, and it's a DVB-T example. The other one where the source was the web. This one is really DVB-T, and the particularity in DVB-T is that when you retrieve programs, you only get two programs per channel. The current one and the next one. And they are being updated as the program goes. As the program said, this is on the iPhone, and this is on the iPad. So you can see, for example, one kind of adaptation is that when you're on the iPad, you have a room to show the video and the grid at the same time. When you're on the iPad, you cannot. So we have a button here to switch between video mode and graphics mode, back and forth. So I will show you a video of the iPad. So we're starting the application, then it loads the grid and the video. And when we select the program, you can see that it's displayed here. We can shift the dates, like touching right and left moves the grid right and left, touching the grid vertically changes the channel being displayed. can zoom to display more or less program, change the size of the grid. What else? When we click on it, we can have more information, more the abstract, the synopsis, the ratings, and it's still showing the video at the same time. And then if we want, we can go full screen, of course, just showing the video. And then we have filters, so we can filter the content that we want to show, just movies, for example. Okay. And so programs have been removed, and only the movies remain, and then we can go back to the film. So this is for the video, and then I have a live example. I think I will have to refresh, because when I plug the cable, the resolution of my train has changed, so the layout is not dynamic. When we resize the window, we don't recompute the size of all the objects. Yeah, okay, this is not live video, this is just a one video, because our server is in the other building, and somehow it's down. So this is the same as the... Oh no, it's on, actually. Oh yeah, okay. So, it was down 5 minutes ago, right? Okay. You can see if I shift, I can browse, can have more channels. Maybe something, filters. And so on. Okay? Okay, my last slide. Problems and limitations we faced when we did that. At first, interoperability problems. SVG Tiny 1.2 is not supported well enough to my taste. First, text area is not supported, so we don't have flow text easily. We have to do foreign object, HTML, div. This is just—it's not great. Okay, we can argue about that.
No, just turn everything out inside out.
Actually, we have first an HTML to have the video element of HTML. Yeah. Then we have the SVG, and then we inside the SVG we have a foreign object with HTML. So we have three layers.
But you don't need to. You could take the whole area where you do the readout and just do that. Yeah. Most of that demo is HTML.
Yeah, okay, let's give you the first question. Then the trait access API is also not enough supported, and I think it would be, we had this discussion yesterday during the panel, the video element also. Oh, okay, we had also a difference between events on mobile, like on the iPhone, iPad, the name of events are not the same, touch events instead, gesture events instead of clicks and so on. Lack of SVG support on Android platforms. Yes, I hope it will come. Lack of Vim support also, even though it's, we think it's nice, but it's missing. Yeah, okay. And then we had some missing SVG features that we think would be nice to have. For example, screen orientation detection by events or whatever it means, I don't know. Sorry? Okay, after. Pixel density detection. We wanted to change the font size or the layout depending on the pixel density, just to make sure that the layout is proper, that legibility is correct, and this is missing. Text ellipses. When we have the name of a program that is that long but lasts for 30 seconds, we have to put it in a rectangle, and at the moment we just do a text area with clipping. Or I forgot, we do it also with clipping with CSS. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We remove the name of the program instead of showing the program. So if we had a mode where we could replace long text with a dot dot dot, it would be nice. And Z order also would be nice to manage more easily the different layers, like the TV, the grid, things on top of the TV, and so on. And there's an example in the SVG spec, I think it's 1.2, about nav index. And this example is exactly about EPG, right? There's a grid. You cannot use it. It's impossible. Why? Because you have to give next, north, south, northwest, and so on. You have to give all the elements that are south, east, west, and so on. But when you're doing this with programs that are have duration, changing duration, or small or short, the layout is not that easy. So it's not really usable. But we don't have yet a better proposal of fixing it. We just wanted to report it. So, merci, votre attention.
Can you go back to the previous slide, please? It's just that this is the first part of my question, which is not really a question. I think some things you list as missing SVG features and not SVG features. Screen orientation detection, there's
It shouldn't be SVG HTML, I don't care.
Right, so screen orientation is being worked on in... Sorry? Yeah, that's being worked on. Pixel density, there's a media query for that, I think, nowadays in the works. Text ellipsis is in CSS. And Z-order is definitely not an SVG feature. but seriously, my question was, so at some point you mentioned the differences between the streaming broadcast model and the Ajax model. I was wondering if you'd investigated things like Comet support, in browsers, or using things like an XMPP library. They're fairly good ones. So that would give you push. Of course, other advantages of broadcast exist, but it might be interesting to compare XMPP with streaming.
To comment on your... So you're saying you should have SVG, HTML, CSS, media queries?
Yeah. It's a stack. It's a toolbox.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think it's...
It just dropped in all the other users, so you'll have room to...
It's not a question of implementation. You can do that.
Just
because
we
how many offering tools do you need to do that?
You just need TextMate. That's all I use. No, seriously, just because the specs are split into smaller parts doesn't mean it's more complicated. I mean, you can take one thing and call it MPEG-4. You know, how much stuff is in there? And you know what I mean? It's not a naming problem.
What I'm saying is that, for example, screen orientation has been defined in one. There's a generic tool in the written C to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be derivatives. I mean, I don't know, ways to apply it when you're only in an SVG context. It's not exclusive. I mean, it shouldn't be exclusive.
It's not exclusive. You can use it with SVG.
Okay,
let me listen. CSS can definitely be used on SVG. We don't. Not all browsers support everything yet, but the text ellipsis, for example, leaves the. Looking it up in Bing, it's the text overflow property in CSS, and it does exactly what you want. I mean, your examples are second to
HTML. In it, we don't do layout with SVG.
But we could support the text ellipsis in SVG too. I mean, that makes total sense to add that to the spec. The other thing is your example kind of screams for it's a great, it's exactly what we have in mind when we say interactive graphic apps, and it screams for the mix of HTML, CSS, and SVG because you have text that needs to flow. You probably need all the power of CSS and HTML text if you start typing complex scripts and all the other stuff that at some point you need to. You need to approach, and so it's really ultimately you need all those features. You just got to discover it slowly.
Yeah,
so
I think that
the
SVG
I like the demo. I like the box. I like the whole idea of collecting the broadcast and rebroadcasting it inside the house. I like it, but I mean, we're at an SVG conference. Maybe this is heresy, but I didn't see anything on that UI that you couldn't have just done with absolutely positioned HTML. I mean, if you've got the JavaScript logic to lay out on the program grid, just just use an absolutely position div of width and height, throw a cute, you know, round one now with border radius and put a nice gradient background on it, and you've pretty much got the same thing, and you could do the whole thing in HTML5. I mean, yes, we're at an SVG conference, but you didn't need SVG to solve that problem.
And also there are historical reasons. We started with SVG because we started with the streaming approach where we had no JavaScript on the client.
Yeah.
Okay, so all the positioning was done by the server, sent with as updates, and everything was positioned, and the grid would be built progressively.
And back then there was no HTML5, so that's good. When they started.
Oh, we started 2 years ago.
Ted kind of stole my question a little bit, but I had more questions about that because at first I thought that you were just going to lay the thing out using, you know, just like a regular view box, and then it was going to be the exact same UI, but you know, with the view box element to be scaled up for one, it's not at all. It's laid out. Is that right? So do you think that, like, I mean, is it easier to do that? Like when you're doing, because like when something needs to be laid out to take up the full screen orientation like that and have text position inside of it, you know, I immediately think of HTML and divs. You know, because you have to do all of that. I mean, well, I guess there wasn't flow text in there, but there was definitely like flow. Sorry, I don't know enough about CSS to tell you, but I immediately think of HTML. So do you think it'd actually be easier or make more sense to use that for this kind of application?
Okay, SVG, the S stands for scalable. Someone said it at the beginning of the conference. But scalability is not enough. Scalability in terms of graphic is not enough. When you're doing adaptation, you need to adapt to the layout. And Vuebox is the minimal tool, but it's in some cases it's not enough. For sure the layout logic can be implemented in scripts, and then you can do it in SVG or you can do it in HTML, CSS, and so on. There are different tools, but the result will be the same, as you pointed out. And again, historically, when we push for the streaming approach, we can filter the updates depending on the resolution we get on the orientation and stuff like that. We wouldn't need the JavaScript to do the layout and even to change the orientation. Yeah, so that's the same story.
So, if I understand correctly, so all your relayouting all happens on the server side, and you push it up to the master to the browser.
Okay. Depending on the approach, if you use AJAX, the relayout is done in the client.
Uh-huh.
If you use streaming approach, there are several ways we can push the alternatives, like portrait and landscape,
mm-hmm.
and we tag the updates with portrait and landscape,
mm-hmm.
and then the player decide on which orientation, but this is going to be static in this case. Like
mm-hmm.
you choose like this or like that. Then there are other techniques. A PhD student mine is working on a scalable approach for updates.
Well, it seems to me, well, it was already mentioned earlier, also for the screen orientation, maybe we'd be better off with a width-height detection of with media curves. You don't really need to know the orientation because it's never that you want to watch the video on the side, so you would...
Okay, evaluation of media curves is dynamic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So it's applied immediately whenever you resize the browser, it's applied constantly. So you don't need a refresh. And one tip about the video in Opera, it's because you're using MOV files rather than...
In this example, not in the... we use Effective.js directly.
No, we only support WebM and OGG, so... And same for Firefox, actually.
That's what I said. There was a
yeah.
Thank you.